What causes the thyroid to go awry? And then what can we do to help our clients get back to normal? All of the things listed on this chart are possible contributing factors. Diet, things like gluten intolerance, other allergic type things, eating foods with pesticides and all kinds of preservatives and things. Gluten intolerance is huge with thyroid. You have somebody with a thyroid problem, if they don't want to get off of gluten, I don't want to work with them. And an interesting experience, I attended a Karazian seminar. I think it was just blood chemistry one or adrenal, one or the other. And then I went back a few years later to do the thyroid one. And at the time, he was talking about some things related to thyroid and antibodies. I said, well, my experience is that gluten intolerance is huge and you got to get people off of gluten. He goes, yeah, for some people it's important and others. And he didn't really make a big deal out of it. Sorry, a few years later, I go back to his thyroid thing and he's saying if somebody won't go off of gluten, he won't work with them. He served nothing but gluten-free snacks at the event, which is unheard of at these events. Usually they put all kinds of junk out. And he was like, yeah, if somebody's not willing to go off of gluten, the problem's not going to go away, and I'm not going to work with them. It's really important. Stress, we talked about cortisol and the effects it has on all different parameters related to thyroid, smoking, nutrient imbalances, radiation, blood sugar swings, environmental toxins. So we're going to look at each of these and look at the things that you want to be looking at in each of these areas to try to help people to get rid of some of these medications affecting the thyroid. So you can actually use that. You can print that off. You can give it to people or you can send it to them and have them just check off if they're on any of these medications. All of these medications have been found to affect the thyroid. And in the chart, I actually go into the mechanisms of how they affect the thyroid. So it's a very good chart. I don't want to go through every single medicine, but a lot of these are common things that most people are on. The most people in the common world, right? Antibiotics, antidepressants, diabetes medication, pain medication, antacids, cholesterol lowering, growth hormone modulators are a little bit more rare. Adderall. A lot of kids are on Adderall, diuretics, hormone replacement, birth control pills, psychoactive medications. All of these can have an effect on the thyroid and look at the mechanisms and how they affect the thyroid. Some of them affect the TSH, some of them affect the receptors. There's a lot of different ways that it affects them. Some of them, the conversion, the binding. So the things in the diet that will definitely affect the thyroid in an unfavorable way. Tap water, because we talked about that before, right? The chlorine, the fluoride, plus medication residues. They find medication residues in the tap water because it goes into the groundwater through the toilet, right? People are peeing it away, and that's going into your groundwater. Pesticides are huge. Pesticides are thyroid inhibitors. Preservatives, artificial colors and flavors, GMOs, irradiated food. Bromine is found in processed baked goods, also some hard plastics and various sodas and stuff. And then, of course, the fluoride is in toothpastes in the drinking water. All of these inhibit the production in some way, shape, or form of the thyroid, creating thyroid hormone, creating effective thyroid hormone, and affect you overall. So you want to look at the person that you're working with and make sure they're not doing any of these and work with them and counsel them and coach them to get rid of these toxins. Pesticide exposures. Okay, these are some of the pesticides that have been found to affect thyroid functioning. And this is thyroid cancer they were in particular looking at. But the DDT, lindane, and aldrin had 1.2 times the risk. The fungal killers, 1.4 fold. Chlordane, 1.3 fold risk. And then benamyl and mannab pesticides tripled and or doubled the risk. Paraquat nearly doubled the risk. And this is all from the American Journal of Epidemiology. And I found that online January 8, 2010. These are serious. So, yeah, it's possible to eat 100% organic, but teach them about the dirty dozen list. Teach them to use their dollars in spending very carefully and get as much organically grown food as possible and make sure they're not getting all these pesticides in their bodies. Nutrient imbalances. What are the primary ones, right? Of course, we talked about iodine. You cannot make thyroid hormone without iodine. So if somebody's telling you that it doesn't matter if you have a deficiency or not, you need to go off iodine if you have Hashimoto's, I'd run the other way. Because you cannot make thyroid hormone without iodine. You can't. Yes, maybe be careful. Watch to make sure it doesn't trigger it. Make sure you also have selenium. Selenium is important for converting iodine and tyrosine to thyroid hormones, as well as for converting T4 to T3. And it shares that role with riboflavin for converting iodine and tyrosine to thyroid hormone. Riboflavin is vitamin B2. If you've got somebody with Hashimoto's, you make sure that they're getting selenium. And selenium has been shown to decrease antibody levels. 400 micrograms of selenium can reverse the antibody levels or reduce the antibody. Vitamin A is important for regulating the production of TSH. It's also important for the thyroid receptors. With vitamin A deficiency, the thyroid receptors don't work properly. Zinc is needed for the hypothalamus and the pituitary to do their job and create the TRH and the TSH to stimulate the thyroid. Vitamin D3 and bioflavonoids are super important for protecting the thyroid against cancer and autoimmune attack. And then iron is important for TPO, the thyroid peroxidase. It's an iron-containing enzyme that initiates the first two steps of creating thyroid hormone. So iron is super important in the creation of thyroid hormone. And then vitamin B12 is associated with decreased levels of an enzyme that activates thyroid hormone. So all of these are important nutrients. Not to say these are the only nutrients that are important, but these are very, very important. Gluten intolerance. Why the big deal about gluten? It's just a food, right? It causes an autoimmune reaction that can attack the thyroid. Plain and simple. They've done studies. I've got those studies. You can look them up. You can go to Medline, where you take people who have gluten antibodies, thyroid antibodies, you clean up the gluten, the thyroid antibodies go down. It happens over and over and over again. Gluten intolerance leads to inflammation. Inflammation contributes to autoimmune conditions. Inflammation contributes to issues in your vital organs and glands so that they can't perform properly. And 6 months of gluten-free can. It's not guaranteed to clear. But I have seen it over and over again where it gets them down significantly, significantly. And in people who have been diagnosed with Hashimoto's many, many, many years. So it's possible. You got to get them off of gluten. There's no ifs, ands, or buts if they have a thyroid issue. Our big, good friend, stress. Stress, excess cortisol damages your thyroid receptors, and it causes thyroid resistance. Excess cortisol damages your thyroid receptors and causes thyroid resistance. It also lowers the thyroid receptor sensitivity if you don't have enough cortisol. So it's the Goldilocks principle. It has to be just right. If you're in the state of hyperadrenal stimulation or hypo, after years of having been hyper, you're going to have poor receptor sensitivity. Very common in adrenal burnout, adrenal fatigue, or hyperadrenal state to have a thyroid receptor. Excess cortisol decreases the T4 to T3 conversion. So in addition to low selenium and other nutrients contributing, the excess cortisol does that as well. Excess cortisol increases your blood sugar and your insulin. And when you have elevated insulin, it decreases thyroid function. Cortisol and corticotropic releasing hormone is like TRH, which is the thyrotrophic releasing. It's the hypothalamic stimulation of your adrenals. And when you're under a lot of stress, there's a lot of stimulation going on. You're having increases in corticotropic hormone, and that inhibits TSH. And there's some cross-reactivity. You know, the hypothalamus is secreting releasing hormones to stimulate various other glands. And when one is high, especially when the cortisol is high or the corticotropic is high, it decreases the amount of TSH that's produced. So that's another thing. And when somebody comes up with low TSH, if the numbers don't look right, really look at the stress and run an adrenal panel. You need cortisol, like I said before, to sensitize the thyroid receptors. So if you don't have enough, you just don't have enough activity. But too much decreases the conversion, and it deactivates some of the formation of the free hormone as well. So cortisol is not your friend when it comes to excess cortisol. Too low a cortisol is a problem too, right? Adrenal burnout is when there's too little cortisol, and that hyper stressful situation is when there's too much. But when we looked at adrenal function and we looked at the labs, we see that a lot of people have a pattern of certain times a day they're high and other times a day they're low. So either way, their thyroid's not a happy camper. So we talked about blood sugar imbalances before. Blood sugar imbalances weaken and imbalance your gut, your lungs, your brain, your hormone levels, your adrenal glands, and your detox pathways. Yikes. This leads to impaired metabolism, weakened thyroid function. You can't fix a lot of these patterns without fixing the blood sugar regulation. When we look at the chart, you're going to love this chart. When you look at this chart later, you're going to see that the blood sugar imbalance and addressing blood sugar imbalances is a part of many of the protocols for the different patterns. Smoking. You know, hopefully the public is aware that smoking is not a good thing to be doing, but in addition to the problems with your lungs, the problems with your cardiovascular system, it reduces serum T3 and T4 levels when somebody smokes a lot. It can decrease the thyrotropin, hypothalamus concentrations, which decreases the stimulation. Increased incidence of goiter in smokers, increased risk of thyroid cancer in smokers, increased risk of autoimmune Graves disease in smokers. And in those who do have the autoimmune, they also have an increased risk of the problems with the eye, pathologies of the eye as a result of the autoantibodies. So smoking, not a good thing. Environmental toxins, we've hit these before, but I'll hit them again. The bromine, the fluoride, the chlorine. Also bisphenol A. Bisphenol A is found in plastics, you know, a lot of the bottles and jars and things that we get, and also in dental amalgams. Dental amalgams are really problematic because there's no really good material available that's not toxic. You know, we found out the hard way about the mercury fillings and people are getting those removed, but these plastics are not much better. There are ceramics that you could put in that would be better, but they still have to use the glues and the adhesives, which would have some toxic exposures as well. So dental, the whole big thing with dental is keep your teeth healthy from the start. And if you have children or grandchildren, raise them from the start, because once they've gone bad, there's not a whole lot you can do, you know, other than taking them all out and then and doing dentures. And in that case, because of the mapping of the certain teeth to the acupuncture meridians and organs and glands, you run into problems if you do it that way too. And of course, these antimicrobial hand washes, like everywhere you go, they're either wanting you to put the little stuff on your hands before you go into the store or wash your hands with antimicrobial. Triclosan is the antibacterial, the most common ingredient, and it disrupts your thyroid. So it's like, which do I prefer, to have a good thyroid and maybe have a few bugs that my immune system has to deal with, or go with this stuff? It's really scary stuff. And then, of course, radioactive iodine, not only from nuclear fallout, but from contrast imaging. You know, if people are going through some sort of contrast imaging, whether it's a GI series or a contrast imaging for the thyroid, it's radioactive iodine that's being shot into your system. And that disrupts your thyroid because it displaces the good iodine. You can't make good functioning thyroid hormone that way. Radiation. Radioactive iodine, of course, binds to receptors and displaces the real thing and increases your thyroid cancer risk. But also radiation from x-rays and CAT scans affect the thyroid. And they make these little lead kind of apron things. Always ask for thyroid protection if you have to get x-rays, even if it's on your big toe. You're in that room, you don't want your thyroid to be hit with that. In fact, I would wear something over the thyroid and wear a big apron over my whole body. If I have to get my big toe x-rayed, great, I'm going to protect the rest of my body. And I would highly recommend that you encourage your patients and you do that yourself.